We have a new edition of Odds and End Zones here on the BGN Radio Network. I'm your host, as always, Seamus Clancy, with my boy, Zoe. Zoe, rough loss on Sunday. Really no positive takeaways whatsoever. Now we're left in off-season mode.
Off-season mode, my boy. Really tough one on Sunday. I think we're all finally over it, or at least the last of us who are stewing this week are finally over it. But yeah, not much positive takeaway, but a productive season overall, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking from the national perspective in August and early September compared to where we are now, that's a win. And it's a season I'll look back fondly. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a season that becomes an indelible building block for the Eagles' future because of the uncertainty at quarterback and even head coach and a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of young players, but there's a lot of talented old players. By the time the next great Eagles team, it could be a complete turnover of the roster. But it was fun in terms of, you know, you think back to some of those unlikely Sixers teams, you know, the 2017 team where Embiid's rookie season, the following year, Ben Simmons' rookie season, they go on the run and have some fun. Kind of has those vibes a little bit, though. I think we all expected the ceiling to be much, much greater for that nucleus across the sports complex on the other side of 11th Street or whatever it is.
That first, you're right. Because that first year they won 50 games, there were zero expectations, right? We were just hoping that they at least show a lot of promise. The next thing we know, they're in the playoffs, and we know what happened when they got to the playoffs. But that's the vibe I got as well. That's a good analogy, because that's exactly the vibe I got. We weren't expecting them to be there, but they fought really hard, and they earned their spot in. And so, you know, it just showed that they still have a lot to work on, and then, you know, to reload and get the cabinet ready. But I totally agree with your point that next year's team can go 13-4, you know, number one seed, number two seed, and it could be literally all new guys, save for a few. You know what I mean? Like, there might not be any Super Bowl holdovers on that team next year.
Yeah.
That is totally formidable and something that, you know, we have to keep in mind that next year's team is probably going to look a lot different even than this year's team.
Could be 5-12 too.
Yep, it could be 5-12. It's so, you know, the league itself, the NFL, sports itself, but especially the NFL, everything is so day to day and week to week. I mean, it could be injuries, could be whatever. I mean, it could be regression at the quarterback position, could be regression at, you know, other skill positions. We have literally no clue what next year is going to look like. All we know is that team's probably going to look a little bit different than this year.
Yeah, someone in obviously people that read BleedingGreenNation.com, which you should if you listen to this podcast. I do a weekly mailbag feature on there. I dropped one today. We're recording this. Didn't say it. Middle Thursday afternoon, so you're probably listening to this on Friday at some point.
Yep.
Hopefully listening to it on Friday. And someone asked me a question on there, and I don't know the person, not to like, you know, crap on them, but just the question was, should we be concerned that the Eagles looked on Sunday the way they looked from weeks 2-7? And I'm just like, should we be concerned they looked bad against the defending champs after playing their defending champs and the team that won the Super Bowl the previous year and Kansas City and the team that led the league in points in Dallas? And a team that probably should have, could have, would have made the playoffs with Los Angeles Chargers. I wanted to call them San Diego, but didn't.
Right.
And the Raiders made the postseason. Like, when they played a really good team, they looked bad. You know, they were an okay team that lost to really good teams and beat bad teams. From a pure fan base perspective, that's something you got to respect. They hung tough against, you know, not Dallas and Las Vegas, but other games, somewhat entertaining. Against the best teams in the league, beat the teams they were supposed to beat. So that lone Giants in the middle lanes game aside, there weren't a lot of complete hair pulling losses the way we may have been accustomed to in Eagles history, where those games that they should have won, that they didn't. And those kind of are the worst for the season losses. I think off the top of my head, that 2019 loss in Miami to a Dolphins team that was tanking, something like that is complete different than what the Eagles did when they played Kansas City, Dallas, Vegas, and Tampa Bay during the regular season. So should we be concerned? I mean, it sucks, that there isn't really like a single positive takeaway from Sunday. Maybe I think Landon Dickerson played pretty well. Yeah. Some of the young offensive linemen, him and Jordan Mailata. Jalen, our guy, played terrible. I mean, awful. There's no really way to say it. Awful. Yeah. Pretty awful coaching performance from Nick, the play caller. So it's not an chicken or the egg situation. They both independent of each other. Obviously, their success is completely intertwined.
Right.
But at the same time, neither did their respective jobs well in the absolute slightest.
And neither did the other one any favors. Like Jalen didn't do Sirianni any favors. Sirianni didn't do Jalen any favors. And Jonathan Gannon didn't do either one of those guys or his defense any favors. And I think it's just the age old adage, right? That the cream always rises to the top. I mean, it was the defending champs at home. They were hearing all week about how they look different, how they're missing guys, blah, blah, blah. You know, if the Eagles play a good game, if they come in and not be scared, so on and so forth. And, we got reminded that they're still quarterbacked by the GOAT. That's really what it was. Like they look like the champs. They look like a team that's ready to go and defend their title, these next 3 weeks. So it's, should we be worried, like you said? No, they lost to they are a mildly talented team that lost to a very, very, very much more talented team. And, that they got showed that on Sunday. I think that's really it. You don't have to overanalyze this. It wasn't like, should they have gone for it on fourth down and, so on and so forth, kicked the field goal, blah, blah, blah. They got their butts kicked by a very, very, very talented team that was, still missing people. Just a matter of fact.
Yeah, sugar honey iced tea just happens.
Yeah.
They played the best player of all time. They played probably the best tight end of all time. He scored.
And
a guy who maybe people don't really think of it is on a Hall of Fame trajectory in Mike Evans.
Yeah.
So they played, two of the best players I've ever played football. Another guy who's probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame with his crazy numbers.
Likely, right.
Top 10 defense.
Right.
One of the two or three best offensive coaches of the last 10, 15 years.
And a defense coordinator.
And a defensive coordinator that should be a head coach. And an offensive coordinator that should be a head coach.
Who both should be head coach, who according to Bruce Arians run the team Monday through Friday. He'll tell you, all I do is kind of dole out responsibility, but these guys run the team. And it shows they don't look rattled, even in the Super Bowl. They don't look rattled. They rarely look out of place or even out of sorts. And that goes to, it's a testament to the veterans they have on that team and the guys who, they continue to pick up. Antoine Winfield Jr. is, one of my favorite players in the league. I love him. I think he's certainly, if not the best, one of the top five or six, secondary players in the league. I think he's really, really, really good. And he makes a ton of difference for that defense. And it's just, he's just one of the guys. He's a part of a defense that is very quick and very reactionary and then doesn't make, rarely makes mistakes. So you got to play them. If you're going to beat them, you got to play mistake-free football. And as we know, our team was just too young to not do that.
Yeah, and I'm hyping them up all week, but that's my job is to kind of convince myself they're going to win.
Yeah,
is to have fun with it. That and the other thing breaks our way. It could happen. And it could have happened. It just didn't. Yeah. The most likely scenario played out. But there were scenarios the Eagles could have won and just didn't happen. And it sucked on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, I had an absolute blast amping myself up for the game. And I really am just thankful we had that. Those last 2 weeks after they clinched that playoff spot against Washington, it was fun. That was the most fun I had an Eagles fan since, Foles Magic in 2018/2019.
Definitely since Foles
after Magic. After that double joint game. 3 years, that's what you can ask for a fan, is to have fun. And we had fun the last couple weeks.
I mean, the lead up, I'll never forget. I will not forget the lead up to it. I think it was from when they clinched to the game. Extremely fun week, and we were, listen, we're at national talking heads. We're not, employees of the team. We're fans first and foremost. And, our job was to do what we did. We hyped them up. We talked about, how they could win, what what could happen if they did win, and you know, future matchups. So like, we did what we're supposed to do. It's just the name of the game, man. Like, we did the same thing last year with the Sixers, and we did, you know, we did it a couple years ago with the Phillies, and we'll continue to do it, you know, as we move forward. But we were fans, and we did what we were supposed to do.
Are you concerned that Joel Embiid's VORP and Raptor rating is worse than Nikola Jokic's right now?
I'm saying, you know, before we hopped on, I was sitting on my couch and scrolling, and you know, really, it popped into my mind. I was like, dude, if he misses a month, that Raptor score could drop percentage points. Then that'll finally give the MVP voters something to have a knock against Joe about. You know, I really don't know how, you know, calculator boys are just reeling right now. And they're pulling out everything. They're pulling out the LeBron stats. They're pulling out the Raptor and the VORP and the win share and the offensive win share. It's funny to see, because they are just grasping for the most statistical of straws right now, trying to tell us that our guy isn't the MVP right now. It's wonderful to watch them sing.
Yeah, I just came up my own metric right here. Joel, juice over expected layups and beads set the all-time record. Jokic came in last place.
Love it. I love it. It's you know what? It's so funny to see. And you know, I was a sophomore in 2001. And it doesn't feel like that yet, because this team without Joe, like Joe aside, this team just isn't as – they're not as good as that team was. But in 2001, it felt like this. Like AI's MVP push felt like this. And it was tough. It was tougher then, dude. Like, our local writers had to fight for him, because you have to remember, it was the same year – you know, that was a time where Kobe and Shaq were teammates. So, like, if you didn't give it to Kobe, you could have given it to Shaq.
And yeah, Shaq had won the previous year in 2000.
Right. Nobody would have yelled at you for it. Or if, like, you were like, all right, look, we gave it to Shaq last year. This year it's going to be Kobe. Like, you could have been like, all right, cool. Like, nope, everyone ain't going to yell at you. But then here comes this 5'10" dude who's leading the underdog Sixers to the finals. And everybody's like, nah, this is the MVP right here. So, I think that it is a collective effort. Like, it's on us. It's on the team's riders. It's on the people close to the team in the city. To like, the MVP pushes everybody. Like, it's not just the team. He needs all of our help to get to win this year. Like, that's just how it is in this day and age. Cause like, everybody, people come up with their guy and they come up with their stats. So it's going to be a collective effort. And we're ready for it. I mean, look at us. We're built for this.
Give HP basketball a swirly.
Matt Moore fighting for his life right now. We love that.
It'd be a real shame if the powers that be at our beloved SB Nation gave us a Sixers and NBA podcast, wouldn't it?
well, listen, we're always ready. I'm prepared. It would be devastating if they gave us a Sixers Hoops podcast.
One last quick Sixers point before we get back to the birds. It's 2:48 at 3:00. Daryl Morey, Sixers Vice President of Basketball Operations, will be going on a local sports talk radio station in Philadelphia to talk about the Sixers ostensibly. And what would if he just announced a trade? Obviously, by the time you're listening to this, he probably just did a bunch of GM speak and talked about how Tobias Harris is actually good and tried to up his value and said a bunch of nonsense. Could you imagine? He breaks Shams and Woj and does it himself.
Dude, shout out to him. And shout out to Mike Chiodo, who said the same thing you said. Like, we got to be prepared for him.
Oh, that was Chiodo, yeah.
Tobias. Spend 20 minutes giving Tobias some props, but he's got guts, man. If we were on a non-family pod, I'd tell you something else. But he's guts. He's got guts going on the radio, you know, 4 weeks out from the trade deadline. And to be perfectly honest, the most important trade deadline in his very short Sixers tenure. Last year was important, but this one makes or breaks the franchise for the next decade. I mean,
it's the most important trade deadline in franchise history.
Easily. Easily.
And I would say in the city's history since 09-10, Cliffley 09, Oswald in 2010.
Yep. Yep.
And in 2001, they got they did the Theo Mutombo swap, right? So that's huge. But it was a little washy to me. They did it for Shaq because Dikembe is more bulky for Shaq. And
they did it for Shaq. Obviously,
we saw how that turned out.
And you know what?
But
yeah, it's funny too because the chips fell right for that trade because, Deke's Atlanta was sellers at the time. And Theo Ratliff had just broken his arm, and he was going to miss about almost 2 months. And, you know, Billy Kane made the call, and you know, Atlanta was up for it. And I think that's another part of it. You know, Maury might not talk about it, but, like, it's also luck. Like, you just it's sports. Like, things happen literally by the day. Like, the Kings can go on another five-game losing streak. I mean, they've been going on five-game losing streaks every week. But, like, they could lose another five and then next weekend be ready to pull the trigger. So, like, it's just a matter of when you catch a team and catching them at the right time. It's going to be fun, man. I'm actually looking forward to listen after we wrap up because I think he's going to say some really interesting stuff regardless.
We got to do a spaces on deadline day.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure. That'll be a lot of fun. Oh, my God. We might get banned at that point, but that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, the spaces aren't a family-friendly atmosphere, so we can cut a little
loose. Can you? Oh, man, that's going to be so much fun. I'm going to spend all my time laughing, so that's cool.
Do you want to do some playoff odds and numbers I got for the rest of the way? And
yeah,
we kind of close it with that and get on to Maury talk.
Yeah.
Well, the literal Maury talk, not us.
The literal Maury talk, yeah.
So these are the courtesy of FanDuel, not a sponsor of the podcast, not but a sponsor. Who knows one day. Listed from the best odds to the worst. We have Green Bay. They are +350 to win the Super Bowl. We have Kansas City +400. Buffalo +500. Tampa Bay +550. Los Angeles Rams +700. Tennessee +850. San Francisco +1200. Cincinnati +1500.
Oof.
I'm circling number 3 and 4 here. I like Buffalo +500, Tampa Bay +550.
I like both of those. I also like it depends on I'm saying this now, but I like the Titans too, but also I'm saying this after, you know, we found out, I guess yesterday now that Derrick Henry has a plate the size of China in his foot. So we'll see how well he does on, you know, running on that on Saturday. But
is he playing Saturday?
So the Titans themselves posted a weird TikTok of him saying like, "Oh, I'm going to give it a shot and see what happens." So I think they're going to want. I think he's going to wind up playing. Who knows what he looks like, but I think that he's gearing up to give it a go on Saturday.
I like for action, you could bet on a Super Bowl matchup.
Yeah, you can bet. Yeah,
Bills Bucks +1000. I like that.
I like,
and for like a long Bills, shot Bucks, one, yeah. I have San Francisco Tennessee +2600. San Francisco's been there before,
yeah.
And I wrote about it in my newsletter this upcoming weekend. I wrote, previewed my NFL slate on Saturday and Sunday, and I wrote, it would be the complete opposite of me, the antithesis of who I am as a person, but I didn't support the number one seed, home field advantage team that's been disrespected by the entire NFL and has a million injuries.
Yep.
I have to support Tennessee, and if they win, they're playing both teams at home. And Mike Vrabel is one hell of an MF and coach.
Yeah, I love Mike Vrabel.
Like, I don't know also, if they're 3.5-point favorites. I don't know if they'll cover.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to win.
And you know what? Another thing about them, they remind me a lot of Buffalo in the sense that they get a nasty streak about them and they get it from their coach.
It's that Vrabel energy.
Yep. Yep, like Mick, you know, the Bills get it from McDermott, and I feel like the, you know, Tennessee gets it from Mike Vrabel. Like you said, like they do enough And they also, when they're home, just like every other team, they're a different team. And they are, you know, they get pissed off and they start punching you in the mouth. And next thing you know, you're not moving the ball past midfield and you're already down, you know, 17-0 or whatever. And then San Fran, man, you know, we talked about it last week, but it's not crazy, right? What do they do well? They run the ball really well and they control the line of scrimmage. Like they, you know, Dak for the most part was, you know, fairly untouched this season, and they took that Dallas offensive line to the woodshed and they really made it tough for them. And you know, they're another team that has the formula for just how to win in this time of year. And it starts with being able to run the ball, and they're really, really good at it. I don't know how much they trust their quarterback. So, you know, we'll see about that. But I would not be – that's a matchup that I think would be fun, though. I think that would be a fun Super Bowl.
I like this 49ers team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a better version of the team that made the Super Bowl in 2019.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They didn't have Trent Williams, who they have now, first-team All-Pro left tackle.
They didn't have Debo.
They didn't have prime Debo playing like this.
No.
They didn't have Elijah Mitchell, who I think is better than the cast of running backs they had in 2019. 100%. Jimmy G still Jimmy G, but Shanahan's making it work.
Honestly, and how is he making it work? He's taking the responsibility out of his hands. Like that's clear cut how it's working. They're making it so easy on Jimmy G. They're not even letting him throw the ball almost. I know we laughed about it while we were watching that game last week, you know, all of us on Twitter, but it's the truth. Like they won that game because in the waning moments, they literally took the ball out of Jimmy G's hand and said, "We're gonna let somebody else win it for us. You did enough, don't worry about it." And it worked.
If Debo was around when I was a kid, I'd be rocking that jersey to the middle school mixer. He's the coolest dude ever.
He's so cool, man. He's really, 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 really nice guy. And, you know, shout out to Trent Williams, a divisional foe. But
glad he's not in the NFC East anymore.
Yeah, I'm so glad he's not in our division anymore. And it was actually very cool to see him get a playoff win. You know, he's a guy who kind of, you know, reignited his career, his Hall of Fame career, you know, once he got to San Fran. So it's really cool to see him get his, you know, a playoff win and kind of experience a little bit of playoff success, because he's a guy who's been doing it, you know, as we know all too well, unfortunately, for years now.
All right, I'll run through the four games on this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Give me your picks. I'll give you mine. We'll wrap things up. Cincinnati at Titans. This is the early game on Saturday. Titans, 3.5-point faves. Who you got?
I like the Titans and the points. Okay. I love Cincy. I love this team a lot, but I think the Titans are out to prove something. We'll see how far that takes them, but I think in Tennessee, definitely the Titans.
Yeah, I think the Bengals are good for football. Like good for the NFL.
They are good for football for sure. Yeah.
We have late game. I think the 8:15 game, San Francisco at Green Bay. We've seen a lot of classic matchups with these teams over the last few decades. Green Bay, 5.5-point favorites. I like Green Bay and the points. Though we are a little bit of a – we're vibing with San Francisco a little bit, but I just think Rodgers is Rodgers at Lambeau.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I know we're huge – you know, big fans of what San Fran's doing, but it's hard for me to pick against Rodgers, especially in Lambeau. So until we're proven otherwise, I'm rolling with the pack at home.
We have Rams at Tampa. That's the early game on Sunday. Bucks -3. I think they're going to spank them.
Yeah, I think that that Rams offense, they got something going last week, but I think that Tampa, they're probably maybe getting playoff Lenny back. That defense is getting healthier by the minute. But I think at home, I think they take care of business for sure. No, not a slight to the Rams, but I don't think that they're ready yet to climb that mountain.
Last game of the weekend, we have Bills heading to Kansas City. Line has dropped. I checked before we started this podcast. It is now Kansas City -1.5. My take is whoever wins it. I know we're talking about different bets and odds about Super Bowl matchups, Super Bowl games, Super Bowl winners. To me, whoever wins this game is going to win the Super Bowl, I think. And I am taking the Bills here straight up, and obviously then with the points as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think the same thing. For selfish reasons, I actually need the Chiefs to win because I need to go super
far. Daycare don't pay for itself.
Right. Can't daycare certainly don't pay for itself. But I think that this is my pick for game of the week.
I think that's an easy one.
Easily, yeah. And I think that I think Buffalo's gonna show us something, man. I really do. I don't know. I know that Chiefs defense has turned it up a little bit recently, but I think Buffalo is tired of being danced on and styled on. So I think I actually do like them plus the points.
I like it. No one circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills.
No one circles.
They feel like our distant cousin in a little bit too. Rowdiness.
They do.
The playoff discipline. The pre 2017 Eagles. Obviously, there's a difference now.
And you know what? They strike you as you know, I know every time we see a Bills fan go through a table, you kind of get you tip the cap a little bit because you're like they're like the only fan base that you have another modicum of respect for because they get just as wild as I feel like Eagles fans do, if not wilder. Yeah. But I get their vibe though. I feel like they're a team that they've been told by their coach, you know, if you want respect, you got to go out and you got to get it. And I think this week they're coming out to get it. Last week was cool. But I think they're already past it, and they're like, look, we unfortunately have the hardest route through the playoffs. So I agree with you. Whoever wins this game is going to the Super Bowl and probably going to win the Super Bowl. So I think we're going to be in for a classic.
I like it. Need a classic. We need a classic.
Yeah, we do. We need at least one classic every playoffs.
Yeah. All right, that kind of finishes up for us. We'll definitely be doing a ton of off-season stuff, maybe have some guests on here.
Yep.
A ton of free agency draft stuff. We'll probably do 5,000 mock drafts. Yeah, same for me. Took this week off of From the Bleachers, but I will next week I will have on BGN's own Ben Natana talk about some draft stuff. He came on the podcast
last year.
Ben, kind of the resident draft guy on BleedingGreenNation.com. So definitely read Ben's stuff there all off-season long, leading up until April's draft, and we'll be starting that draft talk pronto next week. That's it for me. Zoe, also, we are up for, I want to say correctly, a podcast award. I forgot to mention at the start of the pod. I'm getting the info up from the info to vote for this podcast is in the description of the episodes. Rachel is putting in all the podcasts. We have been nominated for Sports Podcast Awards. We have been nominated for Best Team Podcast. And if you want to register, you can go to sportspodcastawards.com. Go to on the entire BGN feed over the next week or two. I don't know when the voting ends. That means you should vote right now.
That means you should literally vote right now. Don't waste time. Please don't.
It takes like 10, 15 seconds to register. It'll be good. Go in there. Give us some votes. Obviously, very much appreciated. And if you're a loyal listener, you love the podcast, support the podcast, and make yourself feel good for listening to an award-winning podcast.
That's right, baby.
All right. Keep bleeding green, Zoe. You good?
I'm good, brother. Yo.
All right.
Thank you, everyone. Great season. We got an awesome off season set up. Have some fun this weekend and grab yourself on the couch and watch some great football.
Yeah, let's see what maybe Tyrese Halliburton has some NFL draft picks. We can get
We'll see. We'll do some digging and see who De'Aaron Fox likes in the playoffs.
All right, talk to y'all.